Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We're located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of John, chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. In his message titled, Let Me Count the Ways, Reverend David Williams tells us that Jesus is the gate to heaven. Anyone who believes in him and strives to live the way he taught us to live shall be saved and may enter through the gate into the kingdom of God. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's word.
Please be seated. Every one of us comes from a slightly different place. Every one of us, well, not all of us, some of us had the same mom, but many of us had different ones. We come from different paths in life. We have different experiences. We've been given different gifts and blessings. And from those blessings, we have different ways that we come into understanding of our purpose in this life. The great challenge we face as we journey, each of us blessed with our own different gifts, is that we can take those different ways of understanding, those different ways of living into God's promise for us, and instead of making them ways that we can sing in harmony together, we turn them into reasons not to. Reasons to dislike, reasons to hold grudges, reasons to think less of those around us. All of us do this. And so as we come into God's presence, let's admit it. Let's admit that praying together the prayer of confession that's found in our bulletin. Please join with me in the praying of it. Gracious and loving God, there's so many different ways to come into understanding of you. There are paths of prayer and paths of service. Each of us bear different gifts, which you light up in different ways. And yet in our difference, we are all called to bear the same grace, the same spirit, the same love for one another. We choose to forget this, Lord. We choose to take our gifts and make them reasons to reject one another. We choose to take your blessings and turn them into reasons to feel superior or resentful. Forgive us, Lord, when we forget the path. In the name of Christ, please forgive us. Amen. Hear now the assurance of God's pardon. The mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting. I declare to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, we're forgiven. And the God of all mercy, who forgives us all our sins, strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep us in eternal life. Amen. Our third scripture reading for this morning is drawn from John's Gospel. I'll be reading from John chapter 10, verses 1 through 10. You can follow along on page 103 of your pew, New Testament. Let's now listen a third time for God's holy word. Jesus said, "Very truly, I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls out to his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they don't know the voice of strangers." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and the minds of each and every one gathered here be acceptable in your sight, O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. It's hard really getting something. If that thing is complex, it's hard, but sometimes it is hard to grasp even the most straightforward of things. I am reminded of that every time over the last few years I have tried to help my kids with their homework. And we are reaching the point where that is becoming an almost impossible struggle. Because when I was their age, I have my mom here and she can testify, I was not the best of folks when it came to getting homework done. Sorry, Mom. I did, however, develop a profound skill at looking like I was doing homework, which I have passed along to my children, apparently. In high school, I would settle into my room, and I would be reading. I would be immersed in the vital study of Camus and Sartre and Dostoevsky. And it was deep stuff, and that would be great if it had anything to do with any class I was actually taking. Or I would sit there at my little desk next to my stereo with my headphones on. This isn't an era, kids, when headphones were big. I mean, they're getting big again now, but, you know, they were all big back then. And I would have my geometry textbook on the one hand, a piece of paper on the other, and there I was, looking at the book, writing things down. But somehow I noticed going back through those papers as I've been trying to recycle them over the years that as the equations passed from that text through my brain and out my hand onto the page, they somehow turned into pictures of jacked up 1971 Chevy Chevelles. And I, you know, technically geometry, there were lines and arcs involved in there. Human mind is an incredible thing. So I notice those skills in my children. They also seem to have the same let's get the homework done at the last minute approach I did. For me, it was, you know, on the bus or in my car in the parking lot before I went into class, or sitting next to my classmate. You know, hey, what'd you get for question 3? Cool. What'd you get through questions 4 through 10? I did finally have to master high school math after high school, and I had to reteach it to myself for grad school exams. And one of the things that I learned as I had to relearn all of that was that there were particular ways I learned. There were ways that I got things. You know, you would look at the start of a problem and then you would work your way through each and every stage of it, grasping the principle that allowed you to transition from one to the next to the next. And then if you got that twice, if you got that 3 times, once you got it, you had it. And it felt like every problem was really straightforward. You could find a clear path, something that didn't occur to me when I was 16 or 17. There was a clean, simple, satisfying way to get from problem to answer, from that equation to its resolution, which I realize is kind of the point of doing math in the first place. It's like, oh, this is neat. Look at this. Find the path to the outcome. And my older son has already moved well past where my brain works mathematically, but I'm working with my younger one, and I found actually recently that it's challenging getting that to him. You know, I'll be there in one of his textbooks. And textbooks, maybe I wasn't paying enough attention when I was in high school looking at my textbook, but they feel more convoluted now. Like, where's the most basic pattern? Where is the simplest way to get to the answer? Just like, here it is, there it is, you can get it. I have trouble even finding that in the textbooks I look at now. There'll be one way to do it, and then there'll be another way to do it, and then there'll be a way to write it out, and then there'll be a concept map, and then maybe like a link to a video of a clown acting it out with puppets, you know? I mean, there's so many different ways presented that I think sometimes what my son struggles with, I hope, is not the math itself, but just that there are a thousand different ways, all of which are being taught, and so you don't know which one to use. You get lost. And I get the idea behind it. There are so many different ways that we learn. There are. I mean, some of us learn more visually, some of us more conceptually, some of us more kinesthetically. You know, it's all about movement and feeling. But when we're not sure which one of those paths to take, when there are a thousand routes and we're not sure which one to walk down to get to that answer, which is kind of the point of doing the problem, how do we function? That's true in math, and it is true in our life. How do we get to that place we want to go when there seem to be 10,000 different methods and we're not even exactly sure where we're headed? There is that tension in John's gospel, and particularly in the reading we get today, as we find Jesus in encounter with Pharisees. Again, he's always in encounter with Pharisees. This passage picks up for us right after the last story we heard from John. We'd gone through that tale weeks and weeks ago of how Jesus heals this blind man, and then people are troubled by that, and they come to him and they challenge him, and a group of Pharisees are having issue with his having acted on the Sabbath, and he gets into conversation and slams them, and they're arguing. And we're in the thick of that argument when this passage begins. And what we get is Jesus starting to almost tell a story. Almost. Understand, we are in John's gospel. And John's gospel has a very different flavor than Matthew and Mark and Luke. If we're in Matthew and Mark and Luke, we should expect Jesus to be telling stories, to be crafting images for us, pouring them out one after another. These head-spinning parables about the nature of the reign of God, as he uses these stories to get us into what it means to live fully according to God's love, as if God was right here with us. Those stories are intended to challenge imagination. That is their purpose. That is why Jesus used them. That's why the rabbis of his time used them. It's a way of saying, you have to use your mind to get this. I'm not just going to give you a simple answer. You have to figure it out. Story does that. But John generally doesn't tell stories. This is a much more intimate, conversational gospel, and what it records are these challenging and highly symbolic conversations. And these are not conversations about the kingdom, the reign of God is like. These are conversations where Jesus says, I am like this. This is who I am. This is how I want you to be. And here, though, he almost gets us to a story. We hear of a sheepfold, an enclosure. This is a space that would have been familiar, sealed in place with just one entrance, so that those of the flock that are brought in will be kept safe over the course of a night. And Jesus plays out a story. There's a gate, and there is a shepherd, and I'm entering, and there's a gatekeeper. And then this hand goes up in the back of the room. Jesus, I don't think I get that. We don't really know what you're talking about. You know, the gate thing. You know, what is that? And are we the sheep? And you're the shepherd, but what exactly is the sheepfold? And if you're the shepherd, then there's this gatekeeper. She likes Sigourney Weaver. It's clear they don't get it. And here, Jesus doesn't just double down. He changes the whole way he's presenting the image to them. He becomes instead the gate for the sheep. Understand me that way then. Not just the shepherd, but I am also the way in. And he talks about those who came before. And when he says thieves and bandits, he's not referring to the prophets and teachers of ancient Israel. He's referring to those messianic pretenders who'd shown up and said, the way for us to find our liberation is to pick up the sword and go hack us some Romans. Those are the thieves and bandits. He says, no, that's not it. Come in by me. Come in according to the way that I live. And I show you, and you will have life and have it abundantly. And our passage, this little section we have, ends right there. But as soon as he's done talking about himself as the gate, he takes another swing at being the shepherd again. I am the good shepherd. He gives image after image, trying in a whole bunch of different ways to find the one picture of himself that will capture the hearts and the imaginations of the people who are hearing his message about who he was and who he wants us to be. And that creates an interesting tension in John's gospel. Because John's gospel is also the gospel that most strongly gives us pictures of one path, a single way. There is just one way. We hear that there is one way into the sheepfold, through the gate. This is the gospel that has Jesus presenting himself, his person, his way of being, his life, as the one way that we are really in right relationship with God. I am the way, the truth, and the life, says Jesus elsewhere in John, and we sort of like it just that way. Tell us one simple thing. It's nice, it's simple, straightforward. Just do this, understand this one way, and you get through to the answer. And we like that. It's so easy. You put your foot right there, and then you put your next foot right there, and there you go. We also like that because if we feel we've got that walk down, then we're right. And we're good. And that guy who's just a little bit over there, well, he's not as good as us. He's not as right as us. Look at us. We're doing exactly the right thing here. We like that. But that's one vision from John's gospel, but then there is the other hand, because when Jesus has this one great truth, this one thing he wants to share, he does so, shares himself and his story in dozens of different ways, using story after story, different image after different image, each one framing that one great truth from a slightly different angle. I don't know how that would work now. I mean, we're supposed to, if he were talking with Don Draper trying to get a brand identity going there, that's not the way you do it. It's not the slogan approach. This is the way you understand things. You know, it's, we got to go with one thing. You know, the kingdom of God. I'm loving it. Just do it. It's finger licking good. I mean, stick with something like that. Nice and easy. But that is not how Jesus teaches. He teaches through stories and symbols, making sure that all those who feel called to come to him can approach him from wherever they find themselves. And in that tension between the one simple path of God's grace, that love, that spirit of our Creator, that gift we've all been given, and the many ways of telling it, you know, there is a challenge for our own faith and our own journey. Because each of us are approaching this path in a different way. We come from different places with different experiences. Different things build us up. We each have different gifts. God wants us to use all of those in such a way that we see ourselves journeying together even in our difference. Not saying, my way is the way. And no, he's not a shepherd, he's a gate. Don't you bring me that shepherd stuff. That shepherd heresy, I'm a gatist. Only gates. Hear that at Microsoft a lot, but you know, it's a... Sorry. We each have within us that gift. And the challenge we have as we are moving and walking together is that we have to see in our difference that we are on the same path, following the same shepherd towards that same purpose, which is both the kingdom he taught in 100 different stories, and also the way he taught by sharing himself with us in every way that he could see. That is how we are meant to live. That is how we are meant to understand our path through this life. And let that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
Jesus, in his person, in the way that he lived, in who he was, shows us some of our own purpose, gives us this image of who we are meant to be, called out to live fully into a life that God has made so deeply that our lives become a way that God can speak grace into the world. And as we go out into the world speaking grace, often we will find that the word we are saying bounces right off the head of the person we are talking to. We are trying to be gracious. We are showing them ourselves, and it is bouncing off them like they just can't hear. When Jesus encountered that, what he did was to hold on to that grace, but to find a slightly different way of saying it. Something that might have more purchase in the hearts of those he was encountering. So in the event that you run into someone you just can't get through to, not that that ever happens to anyone here, if you have that encounter, remember how Jesus expressed that way to those struggling Pharisees. Take a little step over. Make sure it is still grace that you are saying, and say it just a little differently. It might work, and it's certainly worth trying. Go out
with that in your heart in whatever encounters you have this week and always. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.